All right, Romans chapter 13. Stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. I'm going to read this entire chapter. You say, oh, no, that's only 14 verses. Piece of cake. So we're going to go through these quickly. You follow along. I'll read out loud here in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he that beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So tonight, very quickly, we're just going to look at just really and truly in brief, but rather about this thing of being respectful. Just being respectful. Okay? Now, we've talked about a few other elements that are similar to this, and we've gone over some of these verses in the past. But if you notice this passage of Scripture here in Romans 13, it's really talking about our subjection and our being under these other authorities and really how we treat them and how we go about it. You notice in Christ's life, as he is our great example, how he was always honest and truthful to the people he came against, especially in places of leadership, all right? But honestly and truly, even when he was calling them vipers, generation of vipers, and whited sepulchers, he wasn't doing it disrespectfully. Okay, there's a way to handle things, and there's a way to do things, and we should do it with the utmost respect in mind. You know, when we deal with people, it just ought to be respectful. There's no room for name calling, and there's no room for derogatory comments and all this stuff, or if you will, trying to put someone else down, because certainly that's not what Christ was trying to do, or neither did he do when dealing with these people. Okay, it wasn't a name-calling battle. They were calling him Beelzebub, so he said, "You're a bunch of serpents." You know, no, it wasn't that kind of exchange at all. But you know, he dealt with them, if you will, as God would deal with wrongdoers or such and so forth, but it wasn't in a disrespectful manner. You know, you can make somebody feel this big if you really want to. You can. Because you know what? Everybody has a button that pushes, that they have to push that gets them going. And no way and no time did Christ give that example to us. He didn't say, oh, because these Pharisees and these Sadducees, they're hard-hearted and they're not going to listen and they're not going to hear, so I'm just going to ridicule them and I'm going to belittle them and I'm going to make fun of them and I'm going to put them down. No, he didn't go about it that way. He just told the truth. At times, it might have been a little sharp, But in no way was it disrespectful. You see, being respectful is a deportment of course or action which proceeds from esteem, regard, due to attention, or due to position. You see, you can still have regard for something. For instance, we may not like how the current administration is handling things in our government. But that's no reason for us to be disrespectful of them. No matter how much we disagree with them. You understand that to tell, you know, make jokes or such and so forth is not really the right thing to do. You know, God tells us very, very carefully to hold them in regard, not for who they are, but for the position they hold. You know, there are people, if you will, in my time, I was always taught to respect my elders. They may not deserve that respect, but because they're older than me, they deserve the respect. You see, but they disrespect you. And when's the last time you remember Christ's example being that of whatever they do to you, do back to them? Anyone? So, well, they're deceitful, they're evil, they're horrible, so I'm going to be deceitful, evil, and horrible to them. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I don't know if I've shared this with y'all or not. You can imagine that I was not the most popular kid in school. Now, I was kind of small. I'm a little bit bigger now. I had a hard time. And kids would make fun of me. So you know how I responded to it? Whatever name they called me, I called it back to them. You know what that got me? Beat up. That's what it got me. All right? Listen, I've had all kinds of things done to me. One time in gym class, I remember, I think it was 7th or 8th grade, these kids were kind of bullies and for no reason they'd call me names and pick on me. So I just, you know, would retort back to them whatever it was they said to me. And I remember one time, some of them got the attention of the gym teacher, and these guys over here grabbed hold of me and picked me up, and they started swinging me back and forth by my hands and my legs. And then they decided to let go. See how far Mr. Combs can fly here. I remember another time, and it got to be so bad that I'd get pretty bold, and then because I was pretty quick, I'd run away. Well, not always was I quicker than they were. And that got me into some difficult situations. Can I tell you something? I was not very bright about this. It took me a little while, but I finally realized if I just keep my mouth shut, I wouldn't get in some of these circumstances. Okay? So, you kind of understand that if we're disrespectful, that's probably all you're going to get. But if you're respectful, they may not reciprocate it because of who they are. But you have no control over that. You can only control what you do. So we need to learn to be respectful, to have regard with design and purpose, because this is something that we should be because they're not. Is that enough? We should be respectful because they're not respectful. You see, what does that mean? Well, last I checked, God says we're supposed to be different than the world. And if the world is disrespectful, and listen, if you doubt that the world is disrespectful today, just take a step outside. It's horrible. I mean, just watch the news. You know, we have a dear friend that has recently retired from law enforcement. And I have witnessed personally, and then of course seen it and heard about it, of how disrespectful people are to our law enforcement officers. It's horrible. And it's getting worse. It shouldn't be that way. Hey, how many of you are like me, and you go to the grocery store, and there's this little 2x squirt in the shopping cart, just throwing a holy temper, well, unholy temper tantrum. Just, I want golden puffs. Hey, you know, whatever. You better give it to me. I need it. I'm not going to be quiet till you give me those cereal, you know. And they're just going on. I just want to walk over and just go. And just squish them. I mean, why? Just a lack. I mean, and even worse than that, how some teenagers talk to their parents. And listen, as you all parents have dealt with and I deal with, of how kids talk to each other. This year, we because of homeschooling and stuff and not having an avenue for team sporting events and extracurricular activities, participated in soccer. And boy, were my eyes opened to how horrible secular people are when it comes to this thing of sports. And not just parents, but coaches and kids, how they talk to referees. Hey, listen, when I was a coach, and this is, of course, in Christian school, if a kid ever said boo to a ref, they're on the bench. And I don't care if I only had 5 kids to play in basketball, I'd play with 4. You say, well, that's not good for your team. No, but it's good for that kid to know that he's going to respect that referee. We're Christians. We should have a level of respect, no matter how they treat us. That's how it ought to be. So let's just talk about a few subjects here about this thing. And of course, the whole of Romans 13 does speak about this subject and this topic. And I'll reference it back and forth here, but certainly we've already read it and you heard the words that it said. But first of all, let's talk about being respectful to those without. And all I mean by that is just basically anybody that's outside of the faith. Okay? You have lost people, you have, and then otherwise, our regular relationships like government officials or law enforcement officials or people in governmental capacity or just some authorities, just from a non, faith to faith basis. All right, just dealing with people on the without. So over in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. So it says simply, say, listen, we just ought to behave ourselves as Christians. Even though this is a unspiritual type relationship, or if you will, or it's not like, well, my relationship being between myself and another brother or sister in Christ. Right? But rather just in a workplace environment or in society as a citizen. Okay? We ought to do it as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, it's not just a show, it's not just pretend. This is who we are. We're respectful. We're going to deal with them accordingly, as Christ would want us to Him, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. In other words, God has given us the example that He's going to deal with people just according to cold hard facts. He's not going to play favorites, right? Or I'm going to respect you because you respected me, or I'm going to not respect you because you did not respect me. Not like that. So we need to make sure that we are, if you will, up to date with this, and it's not just a show. Don't just respect them to put on a show, a facade, but it's real. It comes from the heart. And we say, look, I'm going to respect you as I'm respecting Christ. So with that said, if we disrespect them, then, if you will, we're disrespecting Christ. Does that make sense? So we just need to have this this respect to these individuals. Then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'd like to turn over there, you're welcome to. In verse 13. In 1 Peter 2, verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your own liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, that if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. See, that very clearly paints the picture of how it's supposed to be with respect. You say, but, you know, don't we have examples of the apostles going before the council, and they said we ought to obey God rather than man? Yes, but let me ask you a question. Were they disrespectful of it, of the council? They weren't disrespectful. They told them, even though you told us not to preach, we're going to preach because God told us to do it. So, and guess what they were willing to take? They were willing to take any consequences for their actions. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not disrespectful to King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, not at all. On the contrary, they were extremely respectful of the man and his position. Were they not? We're not careful to answer you, O king. Hey, listen. We're just telling you we're putting our hands in putting ourselves in God's hands. And you do what you have to do as king. If that means throw us in the fire, then throw us in the fire. Our God will take care of us. And look at the positive influence that had. I mean, really and truly, look at the positive influence that had with the church. What did Gamaliel end up saying to them? He said, look guys, you ought to just leave them alone. Because if it's of God, it's gonna stand no matter what y'all do to them. And if it's not of God, it'll just dissipate and everything will be fine. Isn't that the counsel that he gave? You remember that guy? That was the same guy that Saul of Tarsus sat under as his mentor most of his adult life. The Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. This guy was a respected guy. He was dead wrong, but he was a respected guy. And he told them wise counsel. Joseph, was he not maligned? Was he not lied about? Was he not falsely accused? And if you will, was he not disrespected to his brothers? He was disrespectful, right? He retaliated against them. No. To Potiphar and his wife? No. To the butler that forgot about him? No. To Pharaoh? No. All we see from this man is respect, 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 respect. No matter the circumstances. And I believe that's what it's saying here in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says it doesn't matter the circumstances. We should be respectful to those without. You know what the purpose is? Nebuchadnezzar, when those three boys went through that fire and all those things fell out and all that happened, What did Nebuchadnezzar admit? God's the true God. Oh, Daniel, when Darius came out, and what did he say? It's God. No. What did Pharaoh say? Well, this God, Pharaoh, who thought he himself was a God. We talked about David, and we talked about the difficulties with Saul, right? And all these things. God was glorified because of his respect for Saul, even though Saul was falsely chasing around, persecuting. Are you getting the point? So we got to understand that we need to be respectful to those that are without. That took longer than I wanted it to. All right. Number two. We need to be respectful to those who are within. Listen. We're going to lump two things together. Personal family and the family of God. Is that okay? All right. Because I in my book, they're similar. All right. And almost synonymous. Okay. I mean, this is kind of, and I know some family members are not saved. I understand that. But when it says we're supposed to love as brethren, that example is given for a reason. All right. So we need to have respect for not only one another, but respect for those of our family. Can I tell you something? I don't always get along with all of my family. And that's not just my wife and kids, but but also parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles, or as you say down here in the South, aunts and uncles. I don't know why you'd want to give a name of a bug to one of a person that you love, but I never understood that. Aunt. You're like, ah. But there needs to be a level of respect. You know, we've already talked about this thing of you don't have to like everybody. But you need to love everybody. We're supposed to love. But you know what? Even though you and I disagree as brothers and sisters in Christ, or as a family member, a blood relation, that doesn't mean you have to get all nasty. Doesn't mean you have to be disrespectful. Doesn't mean you have to belittle and talk down to them and make them inferior to yourself. That's just not how we're supposed to be. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." So what's the basis here? Just do what's good. Just do what's right. Just be like Christ. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. These are all spiritual qualities we're exercising. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Already mentioned Ephesians 6 and verses 5 through 9, but in verses 1 through 4, obviously, with our personal family, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Over in 1 Timothy 5, it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, honor thy father and mother, as the Lord thy God commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Are you kind of getting the idea that as brothers and sisters, not only in Christ, in the family of God, but those that are of kin or blood relation, we're supposed to be respectful. And being respectful is not compromising. You understand? Being respectful is not saying, well, okay, I'm going to give in to your ideology. No, well, we can disagree ideologically. But we can still be respectful. We don't have to stoop to the low point of calling names. Right? Or degrading. Or belittling. Or despising others. You know, someone who is not right with the Lord, I can mark them and stay separate from them without being disrespectful. We can. Because isn't the ultimate point, and listen, this is something that's permeating churches, is if someone does something wrong or someone doesn't agree, everybody wants to attack them. That's not what it's about. It's about restoration. It's about healing. It's about forgiveness. It's about accepting forgiveness. It's about showing things that are right or things that are wrong and not taking to the point of being disrespectful. Right? You can stand your ground and be respectful. You can stay on the side of truth and right and still be respectful. So we need to be not only respectful without, but respectful within. And then can I tell you the third thing? And I didn't have time, I do apologize, to go back to Romans 13. Because what it does is it all hinges on something. What is that thing? He says, in Romans 13, it talks about all these things. God is the one in control. So if we're going to be able to be respectful to those that are without, and if we're going to be able to be respectful to those that are within, not only of our church family, but of our physical family, we ultimately must be respectful to God. Listen, how much do you respect God? Because if we have a casual respect of God, then we're going to have a casual respect of others. Both within and without. If we have a fervent respect for God, then we're going to have a fervent respect for those that are within and without. Can I just give you a potpourri of Psalms and Proverbs? Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you know who someone who's disrespectful? They're a fool. They're a fool. Proverbs 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. What do you think of when you think of someone who's disrespectful? Pride, arrogancy, evil. Yeah, me too. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. What did it say about honoring thy mother and father and honoring God? That thy late days may be prolonged. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Because you know what disrespect always brings? Trouble. Always brings trouble. Fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. What do you think of someone who's respectful? They're humble. They're not puffed up with pride. There's no chip on their shoulder that they want you to knock off. Here, knock it off. No, not at all. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He should not be visited with evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Samuel told the people, even though they had rejected God as their king, and God gave them a king, they still needed to respect God in order to survive. He said, hey, if you and your king, if you'll honor God, if you'll remember God, you'll be fine. Were they fine when they did? Yes. What happened to Saul? He got too big for his britches and no longer respected God. Therefore, he lost the kingdom and everything. Joshua told the people, hey, respect God. If you do, you'll be fine. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to respect God. And guess what? The Bible tells us that they did all the days of Joshua. And they did all the days of those that overlived Joshua. And then, it all blew up. Because they no longer respected God. And they no longer respected the elders. They no longer respected those things. They went away from them. You see, all this hinges on how we deal with God. We must first respect God. If we go back to and think about what we read in the first part about doing things as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You want to have more respect? Respect God more. And that will subsequently pass on to how you deal with family, how you deal with the Christian family, those that are within, and also how you deal with those that are without. Just this thing of respect. It all hinges on how much or how little we actually respect God himself.